It's 2:45. This is the Afternoon Magazine. A new documentary about Abraham Lincoln makes its premiere Monday evening at 8 o'clock on WILL-TV. Produced by WILL-TV, its focus is on Lincoln's time as a lawyer riding Illinois' 8th Judicial Circuit. The program will be repeated on Lincoln's birthday, Thursday, February 12th at 7:30 p.m. Lincoln, Prelude to the Presidency, contains reenactments of Lincoln riding the trail of the circuit in central Illinois, as well as interviews with historians, including Doris Kearns Goodwin and Vernon Burton. You'll find a trailer for the film and much more at our website, will.illinois.edu. That's will.illinois.edu. The documentary, which will be aired on many public television stations across the country, was produced and written by Allison Davis Wood and co-produced and directed by Tim Harton and edited by Colin Harton. Allison and Tim join me in the studio this afternoon to tell us about the making of Lincoln, Prelude to the Presidency. So good to see the two of you again.
Well, it's very good to see you too, class. Celeste.
Allison, you're a descendant of a couple of families with members who knew Lincoln. What were their ties to him?
Well, that is a really funny story that I found out through the making of this, is that on my dad's side, I had a family member who was a farmer, kind of a tough farmer like my husband, and he got into a scrape when he loaded some equipment to another farmer, and the farmer broke it. So he wanted to sue him for the cost of his equipment. This was back in early 1840s, Springfield. So he went to go see one of the most prominent lawyers of the time, this man named John Stuart. And Stuart was very busy, and he was very involved in his political career, and he said he didn't have time to take this case. So he suggested, well, I think you should talk to my new young partner, and his name is Abraham Lincoln. So actually, way back in my family history, we had hired Abraham Lincoln to represent us in a case.
That's a wonderful story.
And I don't know what happened, whether he won or not. I think he did. Oh. I think my cousin told me that he won.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what led the two of you to this exploration of Lincoln's life, Tim?
Well, we had done a prairie fire with Guy Fraker about the Lincoln monuments, and there's a series of monuments at each corner of counties, and Guy had talked us into this story for prairie fire, and I think my first reaction was, yeah, big cold-stoled markers. But Guy told the story so well, and he was so excited and about Lincoln that it made us look a little deeper. And then he approached us about, would you be interested in doing a longer format doc? I think I can help you find funding. And so that was
those were magic words.
They were very magic words. And so it's Guy Fraker, and then it moved from there. Guy was on many of our shoots. He acted as an advisor. He was great to work with and a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's an attorney in Bloomington and a real Lincoln historian.
Yeah, he knocked on our door out of the blue one evening, and we invited him in, and he said, there's a rumor that Abraham Lincoln slept in your house. And I said, well, you check it out. And he said, we can't prove it in the end. He came back many weeks later and said, nah. Probably
wow.
not.
That sounds very much like Guy. He's always rambling around the same roads as Lincoln.
Yeah. Now, in an interview in the film, he says Lincoln, had he been anywhere other than in central Illinois during this period between 1830 and 1860, he would not have become president. That's pretty awesome to think about. Why were central Illinois and Lincoln's experiences here so pivotal?
Well, I think this was a real important time in his life. I mean, we think about it in anybody's life. When you're in your early 20s, from the time you go from your 20s to the time you're in your 50s, you do a tremendous amount of growth. And that's the time that Lincoln was here in central Illinois. And that's the time that he was traveling around these muddy roads of central Illinois, meeting people, embedding himself in these communities, building his political career.
And that was
the
time of growth for Illinois as well.
Yes,
that was huge times of growth. And I always consider the fact that, that Douglas was here as well. And mm-hmm. so if you're going to focus on one presidential candidate, you can focus on the other. And they're both right there. I mean, what yep. a great media event to have those guys in the same state, in the same
stage. I mean, if you think about it, it's the two most powerful important politicians of the day were both in Illinois, and the both presidential candidates in 1860 were from Illinois. And Illinois was really at this crossroads of the country. It was really where the action was. It was really growing and becoming the place, the center of the of this country.
And the mix of the population here played an important role. I mean, it was North and South. It was immigrants and native born, and this really reflected. And I don't know this for real. I've been told this by several scholars who appear on the show, that this really was a sample of the entire country.
It was so interesting to learn that the counties that made up the circuit, you know, right here in East Central Illinois, like from the Illinois River to the Indiana border, comprised the fastest growing area of the country. Mm-hmm. And there's a map that you have in the documentary where we stick out, you know, just marvelously. And Cook County's a little dot.
Yes.
Our north.
Yeah, there was a greater population here in amongst the counties of the circuit than there was in Cook County at that time that Lincoln was practicing law. And like Tim mentioned, it was an incredible diversity of people. There were people from the north, people from the south, all these different opinions and views, different religions. And there came this lawyer named Abraham Lincoln who was having to go amongst all these people and negotiate deals between them. And this skill that he had for being a peacemaker lawyer, for being able to settle a lot of his cases out of court, and also understanding all the different views that people had, I think that left a huge imprint on him, and he took that into the White House, and he was able to bring people together. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like during those intense cabinet meetings and dealing with the Civil War. They said that was the greatest resolution that he had to deal with, a conflict resolution that he had to deal with, and he took his skills as a lawyer from Central Illinois with him into the White House.
And one of the vignettes in the film shows Abraham Lincoln defending a slave owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Mattson case, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Mattson was a slave owner. At that point in time, there was a transient law where you could move a slave across the state, or you could bring him in for a very short period of time during harvest, or you could move him from, let's say, Kentucky into Missouri, and you could travel through Illinois. And the rule was they could be here so long, but they couldn't be here over a certain period of time. And Mattson had been holding Jane Bryant and her family for several years. And what was interesting was Jane Bryant's husband was his foreman,
his overseer,
and he was also black. And when it came time for Mattson to sell, Mattson was getting offers or to some sort of issue where he might want to sell the wife and the children away, her husband went and looked for an abolitionist lawyer. And he actually approached Abraham Lincoln at one point to be the lawyer, but he had already taken the case. I understand it.
Yes, that's our understanding, too, is that the abolitionists who were on the other side of this case had approached Lincoln to represent their side, but he had already been hired by Mattson to represent Mattson. But I think that the scholars in the program really put it in a good context, because they say that he was a man who would take the cases as they came, and he wasn't going to sit around and think that what is history going to say about me after I represent a slaveholder? I need to make a living, and I'm going to represent this man. And by the law, this man had a right to try to get his property back, which is what that family had to be considered at that time.
Now, there's a minority opinion that he actually knew the case was so would get so much publicity that he made sure he was on it. Now, I can't remember mm-hmm. who said that.
Yeah.
But there's also feelings that maybe he threw the case, he lost the case. Most of the scholars that I tend to believe, and I don't know anything, I mean, beyond what they've told me, tend to think, no, he did the best job because he was just a good lawyer, and that's what a lawyer does.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll never know. We'll never know why he took the Mattson case and why he took the side that he has, but it's been a very, you know, deeply studied case in his history.
The man who portrays Lincoln, striking resemblance to Abraham Lincoln. Tell us about Joe Woodard.
Well, Tim has the best line about Joe, so I want Tim.
We work with Joe a lot, and actually he had rolled to location with me, and we were with him for about 3 weeks, I guess. And there were points in the shooting, And Joe would always stay in character. When there was a scene, he stayed in character, whether we the cameras were rolling and we were lighting or not. And you really felt you were working with Abraham Lincoln. You really got that sense. And he really felt that he was trying to, I think, touch into that energy and touch into that character.
It was always amazing in the morning when we would start shooting and Joe would arrive on set, because I could see all the extras and people would just be taken aback. Their mouths would fall open like, oh, my gosh, this looks like Lincoln is here.
That must have helped direct the other members of the cast then, too. He gets them right into mm-hmm. them. Right mm-hmm.
He got a lot of immediate respect, yes, and
yes.
that helps. And he's a tall man, and he's a big man, and he does. He's about how you think Lincoln might be.
Yeah.
He's a man of few words, but what
he
says is friendly, but usually right. And he's just a veritable encyclopedia of stories. Many of the scenes, I said, well, Joe, do you know any speeches that he would have given to a group like this? And he goes, yeah, I know one or two. And do you know any cases that you could sort of read? Yeah, I know three or four of those. And he knew the history, and that was just because there wasn't a lot of real acting. We didn't have a script for, you know, there were reenactments, but nobody did a lot of real acting. Joe did as much as anybody. But he could just ad lib, but those ad libs were based on research that he had done for years and years.
Mm. The scenes where Lincoln is on horseback on the trail feature beautiful plants. Are those prairie grasses? And if so, where did you find them?
Yeah, Tim was really amazing. He went all around and found places. As you know, there's very little prairie left in Illinois, the prairie state. And it was hard to find locations where we had this large expanse of prairie that would recreate the landscape of the 1850s.
We were looking for a particular shot. We want to be above it. And the only thing we failed in, there was one place where we were above it and we could shoot and you wouldn't see any trees because there weren't that many trees, of course, at that time. But it was right off the interstate. And though I debated shooting there, it would probably have been very dangerous. So Funk's Grove, were those the people at Funk's Grove? And there were the prairie goes down into a nice sloping ravine there. And we were just lucky. But we were always looking for something. We always had something in mind. And a lot of it had to do with the research. And Guy Fraker was very good. I think Guy actually, on Funk's Grove, he says, well, there's this other place down here. Maybe you want to look at it. I don't think you do, but I think you want to look at it. And we got there and it's like, well, this is it.
Yeah. Also, good fortune in the man who does the music for the film. Who performs the music for the documentary? As I understand, it's the work of a musician from Macomb.
We did. We used some of the music in the documentary is from a man named Chris Folio, who has a CD out, Abraham Lincoln and Song. And he was lucky enough, we were lucky enough to work with him. And he had contacted us when he heard about this program and sent us the CD. And Colin Harton, who was our editor, who really did an incredible job of putting this whole piece together and added his own touch to the whole mix, heard the music and thought, well, this would be really nice to be used in this program. And so, yeah, it was great working with Chris and him allowing us to use his music in the program.
Okay. Yeah, we got to wrap it up.
Oh.
We're out of time.
Okay.
Tim,
okay.
Allison.
Well, thank you.
Tim Harton and Allison Davis Wood, a couple of the movers and shakers behind the new documentary, Lincoln, Prelude to the Presidency. It premieres Monday evening at 8 o'clock on WILL-TV. Produced by WILL-TV, its focus is on Lincoln's time as a lawyer writing Illinois' 8th Judicial Circuit. The program will be repeated on Lincoln's birthday, Thursday, February 12th at 7:30 p.m. You'll find a trailer for the film and much more at our website, will.illinois.edu.